Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed with Click and Cross, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 275. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. And for me and Mr. Chris Clegg, it is always baseball season, not just after the Super Bowl ends. Chris, how you doing, bud?
A recording during the Super Bowl, if that tells you anything.
Literally, it's 8:53 p.m. Eastern time right now.
And I have no Super Bowl on anywhere in sight. I don't know how the people will take that, but yeah, it's I know some people transition over to baseball at some point in January, maybe even after this week, but we haven't stopped. And the good news is, like, you can catch up because we have episodes that are pretty timeless for the last 2-3 months. Yep. All our rankings episodes are up. Dynasty prospects, it's probably like 30 episodes at least in the last couple of months, so they're all there. They're evergreen. I hope you will consider listening to them and support. But yeah, we are here and we are excited because the end, as you're listening, the Super Bowl is over. Pitchers and catchers are officially have to report to nearly every team by Wednesday. I know the Dodgers reported early because they're going overseas to play, but every other team is reporting this week. And so that is good news because baseball is around the corner. We'll be in Florida for spring training before you know it, which is exciting. And I'm just amped for baseball to be back.
So I just looked, Chris, and we have done 31 episodes since the end of the season. This, with this being episode 32 since the end of the season. So a lot of episodes on there. And yeah, a lot of them, like Chris said, are evergreen. We have all of our prospects and dynasty rankings starting at episode 253. We did at least two episodes per position, one prospect, one dynasty. Some of the bigger positions, we went three episodes total with two episodes either for the prospects or the dynasty side. So a lot of those episodes that you can keep listening to throughout the entire preseason, getting ready for your drafts. Also did some prospects to target in redraft, both AL and NL, in episodes 268 and 273 respectively. And then last episode on Friday was our 2024 post-hype hitters discussion. So we'll do the other half of that and go 2024 post-hype pitchers. A lot of intriguing names on the list today. But before we get into that, the usual housekeeping. You can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricRest04. Show's at ToolshedPod. Please drop that 5-star rating and review if you haven't already. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, TheDynastyDugout.com and ToolshedFantasy.com, for all of our rankings and more work from each of us. And obviously check out all the great stuff that RotoBaller has to offer, from rankings, content, audio, betting. There's a lot of great stuff at RotoBaller across all sports. And using the code TOOLSHED at checkout gives you 10% off any premium package, including the phenomenal baseball package we got going on right now. So check that out at rotoballer.com. All right, Chris, let's start with a pair of Detroit arms who were both considered top five pitching prospects a handful of years ago, actually several years ago now. It's actually been a long time, but still pretty intriguing names. The namesake, at least, still carries a little bit of weight, and that's Casey Mize and Matt Manning. Obviously, Scooball has, you know, blossomed this year into being drafted as a fantasy ace, but the last couple of years have not gone as well for Casey Mize and Matt Manning. Now, Mize missed all of 2023, and will miss at least the beginning of 2024. He has a career of 4.29 ERA through 39 starts and a well below average 18.7% strikeout rate for his career. Matt Manning in 45 starts, 4.37 ERA, in 226 and a third innings, and also well below average K rate, even worse than Mize's, 16.1%. These guys have not struck out anybody at the major league level, Chris. And at this point, I think it's fair to ask, is there any value left with either of these two guys?
It's certainly a fair question. It's hard to say. At least with Matt Manning, he's pitched a little bit. The results have not been good at all. And you mentioned the K rate, which is so bizarre because he like just fell off the board completely, like with swing and miss stuff.
Yep.
It was so interesting because, you know, as a prospect, he showed like the upside of being a strikeout guy, at least more so than he's shown in the majors. And it's just quite confusing to me to see the downfall, because he always was sitting like 28, 30% pretty much at every level. And then something hasn't clicked for him in the majors. And it's just pure regression, because you look at the strikeout rates and they've been absolutely atrocious. 15.8% last year, 18.3% in 2022, and for his career, 16.1%. Like, that's not good. Like, that's some of the worst K rates for a starter in all of baseball. So I think that's highly concerning. When you look at the pitch mix, it's interesting. He allows a ton of hard contact. He doesn't miss bats. Last year, his highest whiff pitch was a slider at 26%. No other pitch had a whiff rate above 20% on it. Even the year before, though, like in 2022, and we are talking smaller samples for both of them because he hasn't been healthy. So he's pitched in the last three seasons, 85, 63, 78 innings. So never really been able to stay healthy. So that's obviously a concerning part of his self. But in 2022, the slider had a 35.8% whiff rate on it. Changeup had a 34.3% whiff rate on it. He curbed the changeup usage, even though I will say that it wasn't used very much anyway. It went from 7.5% down to 3%. So I think that's interesting to look at. I just don't know what to expect out of either of these at this point, especially Manning, who we've seen. Mize, for one, has been banged up. So we haven't really truly been able to see what he's capable of. But the pitch metrics just in general really haven't been great for either guy. I don't know. I'm curious to see what Mize looks like coming back from surgery. But that profile, in my opinion, didn't really play well anyway. He was number one overall pick, But it was like, okay, obviously everybody loved the splitter. He dominated with it. And he was decent in 2021. But the 3.71 ERA also came with a near 5x ERA, FIP, and xFIP. Huge differential there. He gave up a lot of home runs, especially in a hitter-friendly ballpark. So those were major concerns. A lot of barrels. I just don't know what he looks like. Calling these guys post-hype, I don't really know. I don't think I'm interested in buying back on either. I think both need to prove it and show me. If I miss the boat, then I miss the boat. I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah, I'm pretty much out on both of these two guys. Manning is weird. So I pulled up his minor league stats. His career minor league K rate in 395 innings was 29.3%. And it's basically almost been cut in half. And this is a different arsenal than when he was dominating in the minors. And then the looks I had of him, he would work the four-seamer, curveball. Curveball was his main out pitch then. And then he had a little bit of a sinker. He turned it over for a sinker every now and then, also had a changeup, which was sporadic. It showed good at times, but very inconsistent. And that changeup is still there for him. But he's been going with a slider more. And the curveball just hasn't been good at all. Like, curveball whiff rate last year was 9.4%. And year before, in 2022, it was 9.3%, which is, I don't know what happened to his curveball. He completely lost feel for it. And you look at the location for each of his pitches, it's not good. He's fastball more so down in the zone or over the heart. That's not good anymore. Slider is over the heart. Curveball is even over the heart. And changeups all over the place. So it's a guy that just can't locate his pitches. It's more so a command issue, not a control issue, because the walk rate's been fine. So definitely a command issue here. Not locating well enough, getting hit way too hard, and just can't miss bats. And Mize, we always thought that he wouldn't be the big K-rate guy. He wasn't even a big – yeah, he had decent K-rate when he was at Auburn, and that led to him being number one pick. But it wasn't like he was going to be like a 30-plus percent K-rate guy. I don't think anybody thought that, but – the fact that his K rate has not been great either. And the splitter was his best secondary offering. And it's been meh. It hasn't really been missing bats. It was okay in 2021, 203 batting average against, but hasn't missed bats. It's been like in the low 21, 22% range. And he just doesn't have any other pitch he can go to miss bats. So, yeah, I'm pretty much out on both these two guys. I'll let somebody else hope for a rebound there, because even if there's a rebound, to what degree? Even if there is a rebound, I think it's going to be, I still want maybe their back end top 100 starters. I don't really see a lot of upside past that, especially with them having pretty mediocre strikeout rates. Next one here, Taj Bradley. Definitely some more intrigue here with Taj Bradley. And I don't know if he qualifies as a post-type guy, but he does fall into this category a little bit here, because former top prospect, had a up and down, mostly down 2023 debut. ERA was 5.59. But at the same time, all the ERA indicators were around a run lower, kind of in the mid four range. Problem with him, like, he can miss bats. 28% K rate this past year. Changeup had a 41% whiff rate. A cutter had a near 30% whiff rate. And curveball has missed more bats in the minors than it did last year, only 22.5% whiff rate. But just got hit too hard, 10.7% barrel rate, 46.4% hard hit rate allowed. So really is more so limiting that hard contact is going to be his focus moving forward. I still think there's a pretty solid arm here. I think if Bradley figures it out, maybe he's not going to be a frontline guy, but he could be like a top 40 or so fantasy arm. So I still think there's a pretty good buy low opportunity here. And they're going to give him some time. He's going to be in that rotation this year, so they'll give him plenty of time. And I think this could be a nice bounce back from Bradley. So he's definitely a buy for me right now.
100%. I think he is a great buy, actually. Fastball starts there. That's a big-time pitch. It's 96, like premium velocity. He gets great ride on it, like 18 inches of induced vertical was 96 percentile for MLB pitchers last year. So that's huge. You love to see that. I just think that the results weren't quite there with that pitch, but I think it's really good. It grades out really well on like a pitch level basis. I think the cutter's a better pitch than advertised as well. I like it. I would like to see him throw the curveball a little more. kind of refine it some, because I do think that the curveball could be a really good pitch if he, you know, works on. The secondaries are the ones that, that do need work. So that's something interesting to see and follow, like how do the secondaries progress? You know what you're getting out of the fastball. It's a very good pitch. But I'll bet on a young pitcher like this developing secondaries, especially in a good org. He's 22 years old. I'd look past the results pretty much completely and say, I see much better days ahead for Taj Bradley.
Yep, 100% agree there. Moving over to another team in the state of Florida, the Miami Marlins, we got Eber Cabrera, who is, he's so tantalizing, Chris. I can't quit Eber Cabrera. You look at his Savant page, a lot of red, except for one huge blue, and that's his walk rate, which is first percentile, 15.2% walk rate last year. In his seven starts back in 2021, when he first came up, walk rate was 15.8%, improved it to 11.3%, which still isn't great, but much better than 15.8%. And then it went right back up over 15% this year. There's still a lot of good in the profile. He still has three pitches with a whiff rate above 30%, the changeup, the curve, the slider. And a lot of pitches, he has three pitches, four of them under a 240 XBA. It's just the walk rate. He gets ground balls too, 55.7% ground ball rate last year, which was a career best mark. And a 199 XBA, which was in the 94th percentile. And career high 27.2% K rate too. Like, this, a lot of good there, but can that good outweigh that bad with the walk rate? And will he move to the bullpen? I think there's a lot of questions here to be answered with Eber Cabrera. I would still be willing to buy. I'm not quite as in on the buy as I would with Bradley, but there's still a lot of good here. So let's just hope he can get that walk rate back down closer to 10%.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned. I do think that the future is in the bullpen here with Cabrera. He has the benefit of the fact that he does have a really good changeup, and I do think that certainly helps. He induces a lot of weak contact with that pitch, and it honestly plays really well. He leads with that pitch, which is huge. It's interesting because the separation between the fastball and the changeup's like virtually nothing. Like, you're dropping from 96 to 93. It's one of the hardest changeups in baseball, which is interesting, but it gets a ton of horizontal movement. It is a really solid pitch, in my opinion. The fastball, just despite the velo, isn't good, in my opinion. It has a lot of warts in the profile that it has to overcome, and I'm not sure that it can. I don't know. I don't believe that he can throw enough strikes, and that's my biggest fear, is that we ultimately see Cabrera end up in the pen. We're looking at fastball zone rate of 43%, strike rate of 56%, which is, those are sixth and third percentile for all pitchers in baseball. And you have to throw in the zone with the fastball. Like, you're not fooling anybody with that pitch. The changeup zone rate was 23rd percentile. Not great either there. Interestingly enough, like, he lands the curve in the zone and for strikes like quite often, which I don't really get, but it is what it is. I don't believe Cabrera can throw enough strikes, because the majority of pitches are like, four of his five pitches are horrific strike rates. They're like below 10th percentile. And I think eventually, like, Miami just pulls the plug on this. He's going to have outings where he's going to flash and look really good, and then others where it's just not. And you can't live with a 15% walk rate. No matter how good some of the things are to like, I know he's young, but I can't buy in personally. I think that Miami has some other guys on the way. I think eventually they just pull the plug and Cabrera goes to the bullpen.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Yeah, no, that definitely, again, that's the big issue here with him. So, I don't know. I think with how low the price is right now, I'd be willing to take a shot. But because if it doesn't work out, you probably didn't lose much to do it. But yeah, there's no guarantee. Dropping a walk rate that as much as it needs to drop with him, that's tough. We're not saying it's going to go from like 11 to 9. No, he's over 15%. That is huge. And not easier said than done. I'm like, oh, yeah, if he just drops it 5%, it's not that easy to do. So, yeah, I think that right now I would say I'd lean 60-40. He's in the bullpen 3 years from now. But, again, cost is so low, I'd be okay just hoping that he could figure it out. But we'll see. I think this year will be a very telling year. This might be the last year where he gets extended run in that rotation for Miami. Next guy on the list here, Dustin May, who just hasn't pitched enough because he's been hurt all the time. But when he has pitched, he's flashed frontline stuff. We saw that in he had five starts back in 2021 where he was really good. He had 35 strikeouts in 23 innings and a 2.74 ERA. And then 2022, when he made six starts there, 2023, nine starts, had a sub-3 ERA again, but K rate really plummeted to 18.2%. So really, outside of that five starts in 2021, when he finally shifted the arsenal, usage went with more cutters and curves, he hasn't really had the K rate that you would think from a guy that has nasty stuff like Dustin May does. Look at some of these pitchers he's similar to based on velo and movement. Zach Wheeler, Sandy Alcantara, Edward Cabrera, oddly enough, George Kirby, and Zach Wheeler again. So, I don't know. With him, it's just health. If healthy, I still have a lot of confidence that Dustin May can be a impact fantasy arm. But at this point, he's never had a 10-start season. He's still young. He's 26. But I don't know. Do you trust Dustin May to stay healthy, Chris? And if so, do you think he could ever, obviously he's not going to get back up to, 38%? That's not super high, but do you think he can get back to a level where he's an above average K-rate guy as opposed to league average or below where he's been every other year of his career?
Yeah, the stuff when you watch him doesn't really match the strikeout rate. So bizarre to watch him in the profile. It's like, dude, you feel like he should strike out 30% of guys, not the sub-20%. Like, so weird, and I don't know. I don't quite get that personally. I think, I may be wrong, but I wonder when he comes back if the Dodgers just pull the plug and put him in the bullpen. Like, yeah, they've beefed up and gotten so many starters. They don't really need May to be a starter. And it's like, you probably assume that he goes in the pen anyway, at least for a little while, before he ultimately builds back up. But I just wonder if it's a permanent move at this point. Does it play best in the pen? And I think that's the question that needs to be answered. And yeah, part of me thinks, yeah, I think that he may be best suited in the bullpen. And maybe in one inning stints, he'll really see that the stuff tick up. So I don't know. I have no inside information on that, but I'm pretty curious to see how do they handle him. And I think that's a real question for all of us to consider is like, what is Dustin May used like when he does return?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. One I wonder as well, like, does he have the durability to start? He has a command and control. He's always been a guy that doesn't walk a ton of batters. You look at his career, 7.3% walk rate. Obviously the stuff is there. The talent's there. It's just, can he withstand the rigors of a full 30-plus start season? And so far, the answer is a resounding no. We'll see. Obviously, he won't be back until, July or even August, something like that, second half of the season. So I don't even know if he's going to start much this year. At that point, they might just put him in the bullpen, and then we'll see if they stretch him back out next offseason and or next spring training to be a starter in 2025. We'll see. But Still a lot of talent, but yeah, it's getting hard to really invest in Dustin May, given all the injuries that he's had over the last handful of years. And just look at the rotation that will start the year on the IL for the Dodgers. It's Clayton Kershaw, it's Walker Buehler, Tony Gonsolin, Dustin May, Nick Frasso. That's their IL rotation. And then they also have these guys in AAA, Michael Grove, Gavin Stone, Landon Knack, River Ryan, Kyle Hurts. So many pitchers in that organization. It's just ridiculous. And obviously, and Shohei, you could technically add Shohei Ohtani to that. Obviously, he'll be hitting this year, but the pitcher version of him is on the IL. So you can add him to that mix, too. So it's just ridiculous, all the pitchers in that org. All right, next guy up here, we go to a former Padre, current National with Mackenzie Gore, a guy that was the number one pitching prospect in baseball a handful of years ago, but has not reached that level of upside. He hasn't been terrible. ERA has been mid-4 each of his first 2 years, but that's certainly not as good as people were hoping for. And strikeout minus walk rate, it's been lackluster too. No, it did jump up this year. He had a 16.1% K minus walk rate. That's not bad, but he just gets hit way too hard. He misses bats at a decent enough clip, 25.9% K rate. And he also had, where was it here, a 29.3% chase rate, above average whiff rate as well. So that's also been solid, but walk rate's been a little high, though he did drop it this past year. That was nice to see, under 10%, but allowed a 12% barrel rate, 44% hard hit rate. Ex-Wobicon was 434. That's bottom 1% in baseball. Doesn't get a lot of ground balls either. So the ex-ERAs have been around 5.2 in each of his first two seasons. I don't know. I think Mackenzie Gore could be like a back-end top 100 starter, maybe get up in that top 75 range, but it's really him's not locating and it's getting hit too hard. I don't know. I'm not like out on Gore, but I don't see him jumping up rankings anytime soon either.
So the positive of Gore is that he's in a rotation where he's going to pitch every start. So take that for what it's worth. And like, he's going to pitch. So that in itself is really good. From there, it's okay. Let's look at the pitch. He throws the fastball a lot. Like, he's very reliant on the fastball. It's a okay pitch. Probably plays like actually pretty below average when you think about it. He does throw it for strikes a lot, which is certainly positive, but you look a little bit deeper and it's, I don't know. Despite the velo, despite sitting decently, I don't know that's a pitch you want to be throwing 60% of the time. He allows a lot of hard contact with it, as you mentioned. You go to the curveball then, which I think is a pretty solid offering all in all. It's got some good tendencies, but he's not consistent with it is one of the problems. And he doesn't really throw it all that much. Last year, threw it like 19% of the time. He missed a lot of bats with it at a 17.5% swing and strike rate. Throw the pitch more, man. Like, that's a good pitch. Like, utilize it. You get chase. You get away without living in the zone with it. Like, I think there's a lot to like with the curveball. Slider, I think there's similar outcomes with the slider. It's another solid pitch that has potential, but why are we using the fastball 60% of the time? Like, it feels like a Josiah Gray case where it's like, dude, throw something else. Like, it's not working. So why are you using it 60% of the time? Something's got to give. You don't miss bats. You don't get called strikes with it. Throw the curve and slider more. Develop the changeup further. And until I see that, I have a hard time fully buying in that he's going to bounce back and be like a high-end arm. I think he's serviceable, but I'm not sure I want to be relying on him, honestly. Yep. I don't want to go in and buy and be like, oh, man, I've got to rely on this guy because I'm not sure he's a really reliable arm, honestly.
No, I don't think he is either. And I just pulled up his player page over on Pitcher List, and his ideal contact rate on that four-seamer was in the 23rd percentile at 46.6%. And for those of you who don't know what ideal contact rate is, the formula is adds up barrels plus solid contact plus flares and burners, divides that by total batted ball events. That's a different way to look at hard contact allowed and stuff like that. So, yeah, not good. And the barrel rate was in 19th percentile for four-seamers as well. So, yeah, not a lot of good there. Again, he's okay. I think there's Again, top 75 pitcher upside here, but will he ever be a top 50 arm? I'd probably bet against that. So yeah, you know, not really what I'm looking to invest in. I think is there's going to be somebody in every league I'm in that still values him more than I do. So he's one that I'm just not really looking to invest in right now. Another former Padre here with Chris Paddock, who still has one of the best baseball, I think, put it one of his debut where he walked in with the cowboy hat, that picture of him, like these would be like put in the Hall of Fame, but he's not 28. He's 28 years old. My word. Yeah. So 28 years old, obviously only has 27 and a third innings over the last 2 years. And the last time he had a bigger sample size back in 2021, wasn't that great either. 108 and a third innings, ERA over five, but there is some hope of maybe a different version of Chris Paddock. He still goes primarily four-seam changeup, curveball about 50% of the time, slider 4% of the time. But he did look a little bit better in the obviously very small sample size, was five innings in two appearances last year. But do you have any hope in a bounce back from Chris Paddock, Chris?
I don't know. He's interesting to me where some of the changes last year actually looked like, okay, maybe he can come back. Can he throw a starter's workload? I don't know. He was so stinking good that rookie year. It was like the expectations were like through the roof. And you're right, that picture, the hype. And he had a 3.33 ERA in his rookie year. And he did it with like peripherals that all backed it up. Really, health's been the issue since then. He threw 140 in 2019. After that, like I know COVID year 2020 was obviously a bit of a down year, but between 2021 and 2023, he's not eclipsed that 140 mark. He's on 135 over those 3 years. So that in itself is a bit concerning. I do think the Twins want to use him in the rotation, which is pretty interesting. We did see just a really small sample of what he was capable of. But man, he came out pumping 95.5 miles an hour. If the fastball will play, then it's okay. Like, maybe there's something here because the velo was up when he came back. We know the changeup's a really good pitch. Changeup's pretty devastating, actually. And if he can develop the curveball further, maybe there's something here. I think his cost is depleted enough where it's okay, let's at least see where we can go and see what he can do. I think he's actually worth buying in on a little bit because the cost is so down. And man, I'm at least a little bit intrigued.
Yeah, there is a little bit of intrigue here. I'll definitely agree with you there because even with the last couple of years not being great for him and obviously a lot of injuries too, the worst K-minus walk rate of his career was 16.8%. Obviously, he's been a very low walk rate guy forever, always been a guy that command and control. He was like the Kirby of 5 years ago. I just hope Kirby's career doesn't go the same way as Paddock's has, but there is some intrigue here. So yeah, I think I would be willing to buy low just given the fact that, like you said, the cost to acquire him is pretty dirt cheap right now. Another guy that's, you know, high upside, but dealing with some injuries that probably be back at some point this year that I actually just traded away in one dynasty league. I forget which one, but Aaron Ashby from the Milwaukee Brewers, you know, ton of upside with him, but missed all of 2023 with injury. Probably don't see him until, is he going to be ready for opening day? I'm not 100% sure. If not, maybe missed a little bit of time, but in 2022 at a 4.44 ERA, over 107 and a third innings, had a 26.5% K rate, 29.3% K rate year before that. Another guy with a good amount of red on his Savant page, gets a lot of ground balls as well, has a couple pitches he can miss bat. Slider at a 41.1% whiff rate in 2022, 42% in 2021. Curveball has some solid whiff rates on it as well, 33.8% in 2022, but obviously coming off missing a lot of time. So is he one, obviously the stuff is still there, Chris. Is he one that you'd feel confident buying right now in dynasty leagues given, you know, all the upside he has?
I have no clue what he looks like. So that's obviously a big deal in of itself. Like, we didn't see him in 2023 at all. So what does he look like coming back? The underlying data in 2022 was good. He pitched better than his 4.44 ERA suggested. And so I think he is interesting buy. I think that the cost is so depleted at this point, like, why not take a shot? I think he's most likely going to be in that rotation. At least give it some run and see. Yeah, I'm intrigued. I think same with Paddock. Ashby's cost might be even lower. And those are the kind of guys that I'm looking at and just seeing, like, what does it cost me to get? And if it's cheap enough, then yeah, I'm absolutely going to buy in and see, is the stuff come back and look really good with Ashby? And I think that's still to be determined, but yeah, I don't know. We will see.
Yeah, I think I'm willing to buy low right now. The price seems to be pretty depleted at this point in time because of all the time he missed, but stuff is still there. Like, obviously, Milwaukee, great pitching development organization. He can miss bats. He can get ground balls. Still has a lot of good stuff there under the hood. So yeah, I'd be willing to buy low on Ashby right now. Next one here, we got two more. Matthew Liberatore from the St. Louis Cardinals. Yeah, his career has not gone great so far. Up and down as a prospect. He had a lot of hype after the draft, and he fell down rankings a little bit. And then back up rankings, he was pitching very well in AAA, but has not been able to carry that success over into the major leagues. He's approaching 100 innings for his career, 96 and a third so far. Career 5.51 ERA, and last year was 5.25 in 61 and two-thirds innings, but with an xERA of 6 on the dot. XBA was 2.89. Strikeout minus walk rate was only 7.6%. And you look at his Savant page, a lot of blue there, and a lot of dark blue as well, and a lot of key areas, not to say the least. I'm out on Liberatore. I just don't think he's a major league starter, and I don't think he can even pitch in a high leverage spot in the bullpen either. I don't think he's that type of guy. He doesn't miss bats enough. Even the curveball, which was his kind of go-to swing and miss offering, yeah, had a 33.3%, 8% whiff rate, but that hasn't been a great pitch for him in the major leagues. Plus, they get some guys coming up. They have a lot of decent pitchers in the minor leagues, especially Tink Hens and Tekoa Roby. So I'm pretty much out on Liberatore, but do you see any reason to still be in on him to any degree, Chris?
He was so interesting last spring. The velo was way up. Everybody's like, oh man, Liberatore might be breaking out, and that just didn't happen. And the regression came, the velo ticked back, and then you look at the guys they've signed this offseason, and so clearly they don't believe in him. Signing Sonny Gray is one thing. No problem with that. But getting Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn to add to Steven Matz is like, okay. Tells me what I need to know about where they value Matthew Liberatore. So, yeah, he's probably starting the year in AAA. He may get a shot if somebody gets hurt. But, yeah, there's just a lot of red flags in the profile. And for me, it's like I can't get myself to do that. And even though I want to, I hope that he will bounce back. I'm not sure at this point that we see that. Right now, I'm pretty out on him personally. So he is not a buy for me.
Yep, 100% agree there. Last name on the list tonight, a guy we did talk about a little bit back in our Starting Pitcher Dynasty episode, but he was a good fit for this episode too. Shane Boz from the Tampa Bay Rays, a guy that I am still very much in on right now. I put up the tweet a few weeks ago that back in, what year was it? 2021. Once it was in the minor leagues, he was right on pace with Grayson Rodriguez in terms of basically their stats were almost identical. There was ERA, whip, K minus walk rate. And we saw a little bit of that in 2021 in three starts. He had a 30.6 K minus walk rate at 13 innings. I get it, small sample size. And even last year, or to be in 2022, in six starts, he had a 17.9% K minus walk rate. So a lot of good stuff in this profile. Like, the arsenal is nasty. Four seam slider, curveball, changeup. Both breakers have had a whiff rate above 40% in each of those 2 years. Four seamer averages 96 miles an hour. And changeup is seldom used, under 10%. But it gives another pitch for him to use against lefties. He's a four-pitch guy against lefties, three-pitch guy against righties. Does not use that changeup against right-handers, but doesn't really need to when he has those two breaking balls doing so much good for him. So, yeah, I'm definitely still 100% in on Boz. Obviously, health is the question mark here. Only has nine starts over the last three seasons, technically, but should be back this year, opening day in their rotation. I'm not even an opening day. I think it might be, is he back on opening day or is he delayed a little bit, Chris?
I don't know if they've officially said yet. I need to look at that and see, but I'm not sure it's official or not.
But even if not, he should still pitch a good amount of innings this year, even if he's not quite ready for opening day. And yeah, I think just given the upside that he has, I think the upside, if he can stay healthy, is still potentially a fantasy ace. So yeah, I'm definitely still willing to buy on Shane Baz right now.
Yeah, this is the easiest buy. Like, to end out the show, I think this is certainly it. We know the upside's there. We know that, obviously, the talent level, the arsenal, all things are there for Shane Baz just really take off. How many innings does he throw? I got to think that 120 feels pretty reasonable. So, like, I'd be curious if that is the number. I think that he can give you ace level stuff. I genuinely believe in the arsenal here, and I believe in the talent. The strides that he made with the command and strike throwing were huge in 2022 before injury. Really coming out of the pandemic, like, that was the biggest thing. Like, he made such major steps and it paid off. And now he looks like a guy that could genuinely be an SP2 type. Now, we don't know what the arsenal is going to look like coming back. That's still a major question mark that has to be answered. But I will say, this is a real possibility. Like, I certainly think that he could step back in and just be a dude. Whatever the cost is, like, I'm looking to pay it for Baz. More than anybody on this list, Baz is the, even if you don't want to call him a post-hype pitcher, whatever, I understand that completely, but he's a buy. He is a great dynasty buy. It may be too late. Highly possible that we just missed the boat on him because now he's back. Could have bought him midseason last year. But regardless, I do think that he's a pretty good buy and one that I would take a shot at anywhere I could.
Yep. Can't agree more. I love Shane Baz. The guy's so damn nasty. All right, to round up the show, same as we did last episode, Chris, who are your three favorite targets here out of these names? I'll go number one, Baz, easy. Number two, I'll say Taj Bradley. Number three, that's a cluster, guys. I'll still say Dustin May, but I don't. It could be Ashby, could be Cabrera, maybe some Paddock, but definitely Baz and Bradley in my top two.
Yeah, I think those are the easy two. Baz, Bradley. I want to take a shot on Ashby just to see the talent level. What's the arsenal look like coming back? So those are probably the other ones I take a shot on. But yeah, there are a lot of good names here. There's some that were like clear, I think, at this point out on. And there's others I think are good shots. Just know your league, know your league mates, how they value. And then yeah, I'd go from there. I think that you could acquire some of these guys at a reasonable cost. And I'd certainly take our shots on some of these.
All right. That's going to wrap up episode 275 of The Tool Shed. We got two more episodes coming for you this week. Again, we're doing three episodes all the way up through opening day. Got a lot of fun topics lined up. We'll get some guests on throughout the rest of the preseason as well. Make sure to check out RotoBaller and use that code TOOLSHED to get 10% off any premium package. And check out thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com for more work from each of us. And we'll be back with you again on Wednesday. But until then, everyone take care.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.